Well, we're in a series called All In, and we're talking about the Word, and today I'm very excited. I just want to dive right in on this. Today and then next week, we're going to look at how to read and study the Bible. How to. And so this is going to really involve our approach to it all, which is hyper important, and then also some of the nuts and bolts of this. And so if you're all good at this already, then go along with me and let this just kind of fortify within you. But I find too often that most people don't have a confidence, don't have a plan, don't have anything consistent going on regarding Bible reading, or have something that they're enjoying. And one of my life principles is this: if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And so even the Bible, you know, we should view this not as this heavy old religious book, but it is so life-giving, and it is light to us. And so our approach really, really matters. One of my mentors, he's been one of my mentors for about three decades, A.R. Bernard, he's in Brooklyn, New York. This is one of his principles. He teaches a lot on principles. I do as well, is this: your attitude determines your approach, and your approach determines your success or failure. Read that with me. Your attitude determines your approach. Your approach determines your success or failure. And I think the thing we don't touch so often is our attitude. How many of you know the whole world needs an attitude adjustment? You know? And instead we deal with success or failure or this or that or what they have or who they know. And, you know, I think so often it really has helped me. But there were times that I felt like my mom, I felt like my stepdad, I felt like teachers and coaches were on me all the time about attitude. It's like, will you all get off of me? Which is a symptom of a bad attitude. And I'm just so thankful. And then, you know, as I've gotten a little older, it's the Holy Spirit kind of will get onto you about your attitude. But attitude really determines, your attitude determines how you approach, and then your approach truly does determine your success or your failure. Well, what is your attitude? Your attitude really is your frame of mind. It's your frame of mind. So when we're getting ready to read the Bible, everybody say, read the Bible. And let me say this to you. The Bible, this supernatural book, God speaking to us, is not a book that you just read and then you put it on a shelf and go, I read that. This is a living word. And you continue on. It's your daily bread. You know, you don't just say, I ate breakfast. Well, you may have today, but you're going to tomorrow too. If you're a breakfast person. I am. Breakfast is love. Breakfast is good. And I like when breakfast is served. All right. So, but the word of God, well, yeah, I had that. You don't treat other things that are vital to your daily life and ongoing life in that way. And so it's something you never finish. You never finish. Just be for the rest of your life a Bible reader. Amen. And one who reads and studies the Bible. Amen. Well, in our approach, your motivation, first of all, must not be obligation. If your approach to reading the Bible is this duty, this religious, check off the list, go through the motions, ritual kind of thing, it's going to be meaningless, it's going to be frustrating, it's going to be dry. It's going to be powerless. And this is God's voice in written form. This is God's word. We need to approach it. This is God's word. This is God speaking to me. It's God's voice in written form. And how I approach that is very, very important. And knowing that it's God speaking to me, I don't know about you. Well, I do, but I'm just setting you up here. I need him to speak to me. I need to hear from God. Come on, y'all. I need to hear from God. You do too. And think about this. We need this. And so don't just read the Bible. Let it speak to you. Hunger for it. Realize this is, you know, many Bibles say Holy Bible or Santa Biblia. You like my accent? I worked on that. This is a privilege. It's a supernatural book. Let it speak to you. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is part of our approach to the Bible, and then I've got about 9 or 10 nuts and bolts we're going to get into and kind of rapid fire, so get ready here. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Everybody say amen on that. Amen. And there's nothing like it. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You have very few things in life that you partake of or participate with that actually bring joy and rejoicing to your heart. And I want you to know that the Word of God, He didn't literally eat the Word, but He devoured, He took it in. I need it. It wasn't just like you go through the motions, but you absorb this. And when you do it, it will be to you the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done it already, read Psalm 119. It's right in the middle of the Bible. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, but really parts of it are this. Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation day and night. There's so many things in there. How can I keep my way pure? It's by taking heed according to the word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path, and on it goes. And so you'll want to read that. Take your time, read through that, and Psalm 119 is going to stir that love for you for God's word. Well, I'm going to give away a couple Bibles. And I struggle with this because I don't like people mad at me anyway. But then, you know, I'm going to give out two Bibles, and there's about 2,000 people, and I'm outnumbered. So today I want to do it just a little bit different. I just kind of had in my heart, Lord, you'll kind of show me who to do. So the sister on the front row shared with me earlier that today is her 51st birthday of being a Christian. And so, come on out. Which one you want? You want amplified or spirit-filled life? Okay, there you go. All right, give her a good God bless her. And then I met another sister who drove up from the Everglades to be in church with us today. Where are you at? Right there. Come on, get this here. David, could you get that too? All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She wrestled alligators and snakes to get here. She watches online every week and got here. I think that's worth a Bible. Amen? All right. All right, get ready. Here we go. And I need to say this, and I'll go into this in more depth next week on the what and the why of this, but translations of the Bible, okay? Now, if you grew up, then when I came in as a Christian in church world, there was pretty much just the King James Version. I'll give you some history on all of that next week. Alicia kind of grew up King James Version. She was, y'all, the Vacation Bible School queen. And how you got that was not just beauty, but also memorizing verses. So she learned a whole bunch of verses in the King James. Well, King James language is Old English, and we'll get into all that later, but it's antiquated, and a lot of it just doesn't fit our understanding. So I want to encourage you, don't get stuck. There's some that say, no, it's King James or nothing. That is not accurate. That is not accurate. And there are highly reputable, better used, better sourced translations that we use. I'll just give some of those to you, and then I want to get into this. New King James, English Standard Version, New Living Translation, New International Version, Amplified Bible, and then there's a host of paraphrases and stuff. And there's some other quality ones as well. We'll get into that later, but just wanted to hit that list real quick. So here we go. First of all, in reading the Bible, you must accept the Bible as God's Word. Read that with me. You must accept the Bible as God's Word. And if you accept it as God's Word, you accept it as true. You cannot just treat the Bible as a source of religious information and knowledge. This is much more than that. This is supernatural. This is God speaking to us, as I said, and you need to accept that the Word of God is true. And you need to receive it with authority. Receive it with authority. Our world is so skeptical. Our world is so cynical. Our world is so disrespectful that it seems like we don't want to have anybody to tell us what to do. And you know what? You need to let God tell you what to do. Because when I tell me what to do, I mess it up pretty quick. And you do too. And so one of my daughters, when she was little, she would say to her siblings, "You are not the boss of me." And I think a lot of people live that way. You are not the boss of me. Well, you need to tell God, "God, you are the boss of me." And take His word as true and take it as God who loves you and knows everything, that God is able to speak into our lives. So give God's word authority in your life. Accept it as God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." You received and welcomed it as the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And that word effectively works. It's full power, full operation, full production. Accept the Bible as God's word. Secondly, have a right heart. Come on, say it with me. Have a right heart. Now, in Mark chapter 4, it's in other places in the gospel too, is the parable of the sower. I prefer to call it the parable of the soils, because the variable was not the sower, it was the same sower. The variable is the soils. And the seed is getting planted in different soils, and you get different outcomes. And so Mark chapter 4, the first number of verses, Jesus has given this parable. Later, His disciples are with them, and they said, "Could you tell us what that means?" And so He's explaining here the parable. Let's pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, and this is from the Message, so this is a paraphrase here. And it says, "The farmer plants the word." Now, in the parable, the farmer plants seed, and he's saying the seed then is the word. "The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm, but there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries," watch this, "overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted," help me, "good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams." So when you and I sit down to read the Bible, to read God's word, we've got to get our heart ready. You cannot just rush in. You're going to have to sort and settle some things in your soul. You can't just go in and you're a mess and you're frazzled and everything. And you go through it and you're like, "Well, I got nothing out of that." And it's because of your soil, sweetheart. It's all rocky, it's all packed down, it's full of weeds. What do? I've got to sort this out. What's going on? I've got cares, I've got worries, I've got shame, I've got busyness, I've got overload, I've got all of these things going on. Take a few moments and sort that out. Sort and settle your soul so that there's good soil ready for the seed of the Word of God. Amen. Next is this: invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. Say it with me. Invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. He's the helper. He's the helper. And you need to invite Him. John 14:26 says, "He will teach you all things." He will teach you all things. Then in John 16, it says that He will guide you. Get this, listen to this, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Implied in that, not only will He guide you into all truth, I believe he will guide you out of all error. And so the Holy Spirit knows light and dark. He knows truth and error, and he guides you. First Corinthians chapter 2 says that no one, get this, no one knows the mind and thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And God has given us the Spirit of God so that we might know, so that he can help us to understand and show us the things that God freely gives to us. Can I get an amen on that? So invite the Holy Spirit. Just take a few moments as you sit down and settle, get your heart right, and just say, Holy Spirit, would you guide me in this? You know all of this. You know the mind of God. Would you show me? And will you show me what I need to know? And let me tell you, in reading the Bible, and I don't want to demean it at all, but like an onion has layers and layers and layers and layers and layers, you might come back. I do it all the time. I come back and I read something that I've known for years, and the Holy Spirit will show you another layer. And then another layer, and like, oh, my goodness. And I tell you what, it is a blast, and it is so life-enriching. Stay with the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you in those things. Amen. Next is be consistent. Say it. Be consistent. Okay, listen to me. Look at me. This is where the battle is. This is where the battle is. I've shared with you the last 2 weeks, the enemy loves to supply plenty of lame excuses to keep you out of God's word. And consistency, this is where the battle is. You've got to be regular, consistent. This is your daily bread. Remember that consistency beats intense effort every time. And so you do best to consistently be in God's word. Anything, exercise, diet, supplements, all kinds of things, the more consistent you are, the more it's going to produce and help you. We have, even for our dog, how many of your dogs sometimes just scratches, licks their paws? Mine does, and mine's the best dog in the world. So I read about it and got it's actually a probiotic for your dog. And I asked my vet about it, and she said, yeah, it's a thing. And I'm reading on it because I just had to get a new one. And so when I'm peeling off the thing, it said, in essence, this, your dog needs to get on this for at least 3 months and then stay on it. Now, of course, they're selling it too. That's why I checked with the vet. But it's the consistency of it. It's the consistency of it that gets into you, and the same is true of the Word of God. In Ephesians 5, 26, it talks about the washing of the water of the Word. And can I tell you something that's going to help you, because you're going to go away with some reward? Use a study Bible. You ever heard me say that? Use a study Bible. Get a study Bible, and that's going to help you to be consistent as well. And let me tell you about this with consistency. If you dare miss, you're out. Okay, everybody look at me. I'm teasing. I don't want somebody, well, I'm done. No, no, no. What do you do? You hop back in. What if you had a bad attitude for a day or two? What if life got away from you? What if you were sick? What if? Is God going to say, that's it. You don't want me? I don't want you. No, it's God's word, and we need God's word, and we need it consistently. But God is a God of grace, not sloppiness, but of grace. And if you get out, get back in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Next is this, a proverb a day. Say it. A proverb a day. There are 31 proverbs, and most months have 31 days. What on earth are we going to do with February? I have no idea. What are we going to do? Well, you can either double up for a few days, or you can just pick up March 1st on Proverbs 1, all right? Don't get too hard on yourself about this, but you need the Proverbs. The Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It's skillful and godly wisdom, so you can have skillful and godly living. I encourage you to use a study Bible for that as well. It covers all kinds of subjects: friendship, work, money, child rearing, speech, how you talk, your words, self-control. It constantly contrasts the wise and the foolish. And did you know you don't have to be all wise to come off as a little more wiser than you are? All you have to do is do some wise things. And this will contrast for you the fool does this, the wise person does this. Well, make your choice and do what the wise person does, and you'll continue to grow in that godly wisdom. Amen. Proverb a day. Next is this. Believers should spend a lot of time in the letters. Believers should spend a lot of time. Read it with me. Believers should spend a lot of time in the letters, also known as the epistles. So you've got in New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. After that, then, we go into Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, I got them earlier, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude. Okay? I might have left somebody out, but you're so smart. But get into the letters. And I really would encourage you, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay? God's Electric Power Company. G-E-P-C. And go through there. And they're short books, but this is the thing. You don't have to devour the whole thing in one setting. It's giving instruction on how do born-again, Spirit-filled, New Testament believers live. And so it's going to cover doctrine. It's going to talk about forgiveness and grace and all of those things, righteousness and so forth. But also then it's going to get into family. It's going to get in neighbors. It all of the things of how do we live this life. And so believers should spend a lot of time in the letters and use a study Bible. Next is follow Jesus in the Gospels. Come on, read that. Follow Jesus in the Gospels, starting in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You should always be in the Gospels if you're a follower of Jesus, because what you do, you can see him in action. You can see what he does, how he interacts, when he's quiet, when he speaks, what he says, what he doesn't say. And pay attention and just read sections in there. Read sections in there and try to just slow down and watch him and listen to him and follow after Jesus. There's great reward in doing that, and use a study Bible when you do that. Here's another one, Psalms at night. Say it. Psalms at night. The Psalms bring comfort. They bring comfort. And some of them are longer than others. Some have different tones to them and so forth. There are some different authors in the Psalms. But a lot of the Psalms will bring some comfort and courage. Because how many of you know the day kind of takes some comfort out of you and takes some courage out of you? And the Psalms kind of put some comfort and courage back into you. And Psalms at night. So what else am I going to say about the Psalms at night? I knew you were going to say that. Make sure you also floss and brush. Okay. And use a study Bible. And then let me throw this in too. Read from a good daily devotional. Get a good daily devotional. These are a couple of mine, and no, I'm not giving them away. And there are 365-day devotionals that you can get. Some have morning and evening. Here's a Billy Graham one that I did a couple years ago, and it's got morning and evening. And what it does is usually a verse or a passage. Then there's some commentary, and then there's a prayer or some kind of declaration. And this will help you, you know, and you say, well, this is a lot to do. I'm telling you that if you just do this right, you're going to have times, we'll talk about it next week, where you'll want to spend a whole hour or something studying the Word. But this can be part of just daily. You honestly, in about 15 to 20 minutes, can do what I'm telling you to do as far as a proverb, following Jesus, a little section in the epistles or the letters, and then a devotional. And this is going to help to guide you. And so there's all kinds. Here's one by Joyce Meyer on the Psalms and a daily word for men. There's one for, you know, teenagers. There's all kinds of them that are out there, and you know how to get them. And so get those, follow along in a good daily devotional. And not making a big deal about this, but I'm writing one too, so I'll let you know about that. Next is this. What's your problem? Come on, say it. What's your problem? That's going to guide you in the Bible too. So right now, what's your problem? Don't say it out loud. What's this, or it's them, or whatever. Well, look that up. Look that up. Because for every problem, there is a promise. So find that promise. Really, what turned me on and got me started in actually reading the Word of God was a promise book. And I got a hold of a categorized promise book that said, you know, here's what to read when you're heartbroken, when you're worried, when finances are an issue, when you're sick or whatever like that. And you have a whole lot of ways to do that. Promise books, you can go online, you can Google, you can Yahoo, you can Bing, you can whatever you want to do and find those promises. Because the Bible applies to everyday life. The Bible is not just for religious knowledge. It's for everyday life, so get the Word of God in you. So let me go over this. Your attitude determines your approach. Approach God's Word in the right way. Accept the Bible as God's Word. Have a right heart. Take a moment to sort and settle your heart. Invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. Be consistent with this. Have a proverb a day. Believers should spend a lot of time in the letters or the epistles. Follow Jesus in the Gospels. Psalms at night. Read from a good daily devotional. What's your problem? Find out what that is. And you're going to find that the Word of God will light up for you, and you can get those promises for your problem. And then lastly today, ponder. Come on, everybody say it. Ponder. Do you know what ponder is? It's to think about it. It's to meditate on it. It's to slow down. And that's one of the keys to reading the Bible too. Read it slow. Read it slow. Take your time. Sometimes we're in this rush, and the devil, I promise you, will show up and go, read fast, read fast, because he does not want you to get it. Slow down, be intentional, consider it, and think about it. This is an incredible quote by George Mueller. Let me tell you about him first. And I shared this with you back early fall, too, this quote. I keep going back to it. But George Mueller was an evangelist. He ran orphanages in Bristol, England in the 1800s. He cared for over 10,000 orphans. He had 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayer in his journals. And regarding running these orphanages, he never asked a human being for a single penny. And back in the 1800s, over $4.2 million came in unasked for. The man knew about prayer. And the man knew about the power of God. But listen to this. And this will be on the screen for you. He said, I saw that the first and primary business to which I ought to attend to every day was to have, was to have my soul happy in the Lord. Man, I want to read that again. I saw that the first and primary business to which I ought to attend to every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. How might I get my soul into a happy state, and how my inner man might be nourished? Now, what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts. It's to ponder God's Word. Now listen, God's Word is God speaking to you. I need to hear what God says to me. You need to hear what God says to you. The Bible is the number one way that God is going to reveal Himself to you. The Bible is the number one way that God is going to give you instruction for this life. And I'm going to tell you, God knows better than we do. Come on, you. God knows better than we do. And we need to hear from Him. The enemy of your soul knows what this book is. And he wants to keep you away from it, keep you out of it, and keep it out of you. And like I've been saying for 3 weeks now, let that provoke you to push right past those excuses. I'm giving you some tools here so you can know how to get in and read and study God's Word. We're going to continue on that next week. I hope you got something at all out of today. Did you get anything at all? I pray so.